Habits of Separation, written by Nerij Seki and read by Litra. A DC's Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash fanfic, with the pairing Mick Rory, Leonard Snart. Part 3 of the Habits series. Summary. Len and Mick have, together, mostly gotten the hang of the quirks of their brand new marriage down pat.
Mostly.
But what about the times when they're not together?
He wakes up, and there is no pain.
He wakes up, and there is nothing but pain.
It's a shock to the system. He's almost gotten used to it, itching like burning all over his body. The coolness of the bandages, the drugging mistiness of the IV.
It's a shock to the system. His mind is muted, dull, dark. He doesn't know where the pain is coming from. He only knows that when he moans, there is the whisper of voices, and something is done that makes him sink back into a half-awake daze.
His joints ache, though it's a dull roar. Old, like not stretching too much. Not familiar, yet something he remembers. And then he understands.
He doesn't understand.
He opens his eyes.
Shit.
Mick says, and runs his hands over a body scarred through ill use, but not by fire.
Len.
He rolls out of bed and goes to the phone, then pauses. He doesn't know what clinic Len put him in that furious moment after the ambulance. He remembers the ambulance itself, the beeping machines, the yelling when the wheels screech to a halt, Len holding the gun. He remembers the hospital bed, fading in and out again as they tended to him. He remembers waking up, fuzzy with drugs, in the hospital bed. Len saying they're done, saying they're over, saying they're no more, but he doesn't remember more than that. He certainly doesn't remember where Len took him. Shit.
His fingers run up his skin and finds only bandages. Was he hurt? He doesn't remember. He wants Mick.
Shit, shit, shit! He dials Lisa's number.
It's 2 in the goddamn morning, Lenny,
she groans, answering after the 4th ring.
What?
Where's Mick?
He demands.
What? What hospital?
Why?
She asks, puzzled.
I thought you said...
Forget what I said. Which one?
Fairbanks Center, Indiana? Lenny.
Mark remembers the name. Len had been looking at brochures once upon a time, when he thought Mick wasn't paying attention, gnawing his lip in anxiety. Mick had rolled his eyes and taken them away, promising it wasn't ever going to happen. Shows what he knows.
Thanks, Lise,
he says, and hangs up on her. He looks through Len's phone book. He wouldn't be Len without his perfect little brown book. Names in a careful code and numbers in order. A habit installed from washing his mother. And finds the number.
He wants Mick. He doesn't understand why it hurts so much. Hello. Do you have an adult male, 6'2", checked in, pretty severe burns? I need to talk to the doc in charge of his case.
Mick ends up barking at the poor receptionist, which he normally tries to avoid, but God, she's so slow.
Hello? The doctor says.
Is your patient suffering from additional distress today?
Mick says, wishing he knew what names Len had checked him in under.
I'm afraid...
You need to sedate him today,
Mick says.
He'll be extra upset, trust me.
I can't just...
Please, Doc,
Just check him?
A man in white comes in. He thrashes a little, trying to escape. Doctors. He hates doctors. He hates them. Dad will be so upset that he's ended up in the hospital again. The doctor says something. He doesn't understand it, but the nurses around him leap into action, injecting something into a tube. And then a cool feeling spreads through his body. Numbness, and he sinks back asleep. It's not a clean sleep, but it'll do. Thank you, Mick says, and hangs up.
He sits down on the kitchen counter, putting his head in his hands. God, what has he done? Damned himself to pain and misery and dragged Len along with him. He deserves that Len leave him.
It's a lurching feeling when it happens midday. It's even more disorienting when it happens mid-heist.
Ugh,
Len says, and drops the person he was holding up by the collar. There's a fight going on, and he has no idea which side he's on. Oh, crap,
Mick says, standing in the middle of an ongoing heist with everyone looking at him. Three guys he recognizes as muscle men. Rashid, Tommy G, Dinkins. Which was fine, but there's also Scudder and the freaking Dylan twins, too. Rosa and Roscoe. He thought Len stopped working with them. Guess things change.
You gonna just stand there, or are you gonna pop the safe?
Roscoe sneers.
Getting soft, Snort?
Bet he is, Scudder snickers. Weak link in the chain.
Rosa laughs. Mick looks down at the safe. Thank God Snart taught him how to do this.
Why'd you shoot out the fire alarm?
One of the mobster guys, Len doesn't know his name, asks Len. Len tries not to make a face. He thought Mick had stopped working with them. Guess things change.
Made everyone scram, didn't it?
Len points out.
Well, yeah,
the guy says, sounding doubtful.
But we didn't get to teach them the lesson we wanted to. Next time, remember that I don't hire you to think.
Of course you didn't,
Len replies.
That would require you to have the ability to do it yourself.
What did you say?
The guy exclaims. I said,
Mick says,
that you're a bunch of useless bastards that wouldn't know left from right, from up from down.
We don't have to put up with your shit, Snart,
Scudder says, stepping forward threateningly like he thinks that's going to work. Mick puts a fist in his gut, which Scudder clearly wasn't expecting. Makes sense. Len's not the type to jump to physical violence. Not like Mick is.
You screw up my heist again,
Mick says firmly.
And I'll know why. You get me?
You're the one that froze up on the safe,
Rosa shoots back, kneeling down next to Scudder.
I got it open,
Mick says.
You're the dickbags who tried to shoot your way out of the place when it wasn't even goddamn called for.
Because you care so much about avoiding violence in your plans,
Roscoe says, rolling his eyes.
About as much as you care about your sister sleeping with Scudder,
Mick replies.
She's not,
Roscoe says. Rosa says.
He's stealing from me?
The mobster Don roared.
I'm not saying he is,
Len says peacefully, because no one ever thinks that Mick, with his big body and his I'm so dumb act, could possibly be lying to stir up shit the way Len always does.
I just said what I think I'm owed, given what the take was. Thought I'd bring it up to you.
That bastard! bastard said the take was 15 fucking percent less than that!
And he called Mick dumb, Len thinks, but does not say. He smiles.
I cannot believe you! Roscoe yells. Him?
Bro, maybe you could be having this fight somewhere else?
Mick suggests. Yeah, Scudder says, oily as ever. Somewhere we can all go and calm down, nice and peaceful, huh? We can meet back up in a day or two. We? Roscoe says savagely. You planning on taking my sister back with you to some crappy hotel room, huh? That it? It's more of a warehouse, really, Scudder says, because Scudder's an idiot. Roscoe punches him. Scudder punches him back. Rosa leaps into the fray. That'll show him, calling Len soft. Mick thinks, but does not say.
He smiles. Len walks home with his share of the money, glances at the clock. If he goes to sleep now, it'll probably be over by the time he wakes up. He's heading to bed when an idea occurs to him, and he scribbles a note on a post-it and sticks it on the alarm clock.
Mick gives the muscle guys orders and heads back to the nearest safe house. He tears a piece of paper out of a notebook and writes a note, leaves it on the pillow next to the one he puts his head on.
Len wakes up with a piece of paper stuck to his face, right where he's rolled over onto it.
Mick wakes up with a hand groping the alarm clock and finding paper there instead.
Len sits up, yawning, and squints at the paper. It says,
"Pissed off RRNS for you. Good riddance." Mick yanks the alarm clock out of the wall socket it's plugged into and brings the whole thing to his face, trying to blink the sleep out of his eyes. It says,
"Started mob civil war. Avoid them all if you want to live."
Oh, for fuck's sake!
They say in a unison that spans 400 miles.
You asshole! Kronos glances at the calendar that Ginny has pulled up for him again. "Are you sure?" he asks doubtfully.
"That is the date, standard vanishing point time,"
she reports. "And you're sure it's been 3 months since our mission started?"
"Nearly 4, Kronos. Are you waiting for something?"
"I guess not," he says. Except 4 months later, he does it again. He's not sure what he's waiting for. And then he gets the mission. The mission. And he remembers everything, especially his hatred. And he wonders why it didn't happen. Why 3 months could go by and nothing happen again and again and again. Maybe they're just not married anymore. Till death do us part. Turns out it was because it was only 2 weeks for Len. This is a bit weird, Mick thought, floating alongside his body. He was distantly aware that he usually didn't have lucid dreams, and he'd almost never dreamed of himself, fast asleep on his bed. It was kind of a boring dream as they went. At least he seemed to be sleeping well. Everything seemed very unimportant, like all of his concerns were gone, floating on the wind. It didn't really matter. After all, they'd all happen in time, just like they were supposed to. The only way to describe the feeling was the opposite of forgetting to turn off the stove. He was absolutely certain, though he couldn't say why, that everything was in its proper place, in its proper time, and it was all being taken care of. It was kind of nice. Pyromania is a variation on an anxiety disorder. Mick was very well aware. He's never not had that itching anxiety in the back of his head, the one that only ever fades for a little bit when he's staring into the flame. But now, peace. It really wasn't that bad. He could get used to this. At most, there was a vague feeling that he ought to eventually go somewhere. He wasn't sure exactly where. Back into his body, maybe. He considered following that urge for a minute, but it wasn't, like, urgent or anything. Mick's body grumbles and yawns, turning over in his sleep, shoving his face into the pillow. Damn, he must be waking up. Mick resigned himself to consciousness. Then, much to his distantly felt surprise, his body goes very stiff, as if with shock. Huh. Mick wondered what's up with that. Shit, his body says, and then Len looks up through Mick's still living eyes and says, Mick, you still here? Oh.
The end. This was recorded for my try an accent square on my Podfic bingo card. Because let's face it, I do accents anyway, so let's go ahead and pick a story that is nothing but accents. The other two stories in this series have also been recorded by me, and you can go check them out on AO3. Thank you guys for listening, and have a good night.